This is Identity Advantage, episode number 135. Welcome to Identity Advantage. I'm Daphne DeLay.
And I'm Janelle Reardon.
And this is the podcast where we share our thoughts on the advantages of knowing your identity in Christ. Well, you guessed, that was not Angie Gonzalez in the studio with me today, but I have a very dear friend that I'm so excited to introduce you to. Angie is on the road and couldn't be here, but she sends her love. But this is my dear friend, Janelle Reardon, life coach and author, brand new author. Yay! Well, not a brand new author. She's been writing a while, but brand new book that just came out this week entitled Overcoming Hurtful Words by Worthy Publishers. And so excited to talk to you today about this. So welcome to Texas.
So glad to be in Texas.
So we've had a good time already while she's been in Texas, her first trip here. She's actually from Virginia, and she has pointed out more than once that I have a Texas accent, and all of you listeners have been so sweet to not point that out to me.
Which I love dearly.
No, it's a joke between us because I love it too, and I love accents when I travel with people, so I take it as a love tap.
I will start talking like you.
There you go.
As we go.
So. You go. We would do that, wouldn't we? So I want to do this. I want you to tell us a little bit about your book, but on this podcast, Identity Advantage, we've had several guests over the years, and what we love to ask our guest is, what is the advantage that you learned about your identity in Christ? How did you discover your identity in Christ, and what was the advantage of that? So that's really the question I would like to ask you, but in your book, I found something that I really liked, and so I think it'll be a great catalyst for you to answer that question, and I want you to tell our readers a little bit more about overcoming hurtful words, whether it's in however you want to answer that, or at the end, I want to make sure they know about it and where to find it. But this is in, I'm not sure what chapter we're in, but anyway, History of Hurts, Example, Accepting and Living My God-Created Identity.
Yes.
This is what you said. Instead of finding my identity in my earthly father's reflection, dance and the competitive world of beauty pageants became my world. Without even knowing it, the stage became a foster parent of sorts. Feeling right at home under the bright lights, my identity formed under the influence of the three A's: affirmation, approval, and the addictive applause of others. And that just really hit home with me. The three A's of how your identity was formed. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Or
yes, it's a great place to start.
Yeah.
A great proverb that I love dearly says, human opinion disables. Another version, basically, it's people-pleasing.
Yes.
So I think for me, I was a tall, gawky, carrot-topped little girl and way taller than my peers. And in the third grade, my family transferred from North Carolina to Virginia. My father was a Marine, and I went to a new school. And so I was, as I said, gawky, tall, and didn't quite know how to live into that. But I was a very good dancer. And when we had our first talent show, I danced and twirled a baton at the same time and did some flips and things, and my peers really thought that was cool. And so the applause, I believe, at that moment, when I look back over my own history of hurts and where perhaps my identity started to be formed, adding to that, had an alcoholic father, was born into that home life. And so not getting that secure attachment, that affirmation from my earthly father, for sure, when my peers began to applaud, something went off in me. And I thought, oh, wow, they like me. And so my performance became something that made its way deep into my identity.
Okay.
And that just perpetuated through the years, just perpetuated. I danced, you know, forever and ever, and competitively twirled, and then got involved in pageants and just stage. And so definitely my identity formed around that. But at age 21, my senior year in college, through a series of very wonderful, blessed events, I came to know Christ.
Awesome.
And that shifted. I call it in Overcoming Hurtful Words, a heart shift. And I became aware of the truth, capital T. Mm-hmm. And the truth then began to, you know, seep into my soul. Mm-hmm. And so the definite identity advantage for me was knowing whose I am.
Yeah.
Because then I could find out who I am.
Right. Say that again.
Well, knowing whose I am.
Right. Speaking of Christ.
Speaking of mm-hmm. Christ.
Right.
Whose.
Mm-hmm.
I could then begin to understand
yeah.
who he created
yes.
me to be, and that I do not have to perform. I do not have to do anything.
Yeah. He applauds you. He applauds you without it. He just yes. loves you and says, I'm applauding you because I just love everything
you.
About you.
I just
you.
Think you're darling. You know, yes. I mean, it's just, it was, that changes
yes.
everything
yes.
in life. Because what I also continue to write in that passage that you shared is that my identity then doesn't have to be defined by what I do or what I own or what I have. It is only expressed then through those things.
Right.
So that if those things change in my life, I lose a job or I don't get a job or I don't get into this college or I fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm secure in Christ for who I am, not what I do.
Exactly.
So that's the advantage for me.
Yeah.
And oh, how I wish I'd learned it earlier.
Oh, don't we all?
But his timing is perfect.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, the three A's, affirmation, approval, and the addictive applause of others. Mm. What I have discovered is that those are not, and I like how you use the word addictive applause, mm-hmm. meaning I'd like more of that,
please,
you know.
Please.
Yeah. But I don't think anymore, and I've changed my opinion on this, but I think I used to think that all of those were evil
yes,
if we needed them.
That's right.
But now I've understood that they're in our DNA because mm-hmm. God applauds us.
He
and
does.
God affirms us and yes. God approves of us. And so once I got that in the right place,
yes.
then my yes. confidence and my identity was strengthened in my core.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the winds
well,
and the storms.
Well, it's a position.
Exactly.
It's really a position, Ephesians 1, from
yes.
which we move through life. And
yes.
what I gleaned from that as well was in Genesis. When what did God do after he finished a day's work? Well, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yay.
I think exactly. maybe he applauded.
Yes.
Maybe he went that, but hey, that was good.
It was very good.
It was yeah. positive. It was pride in its fullest, most beautiful sense in that we should have pride in working hard and doing good work and being excellent in what mm-hmm. we do. Mm-hmm. And then when he created man and woman, he said, well, that was very good.
Yeah.
I did really well today.
Yes.
You know? And so when I understood that principle,
mm-hmm.
then everything just changes.
Yeah.
Because I can now applaud you, Daphne, because you're really good at what you do. You work hard. I can applaud you, and I can also be secure and not be jealous or compare myself
right.
or be envious because I have the identity advantage.
Yes.
You see?
Yes. Yes, you do.
I have it.
Yes, you do. So I'm reminded of this passage in 2 Corinthians 3. 18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, okay, to reflect him from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. But I've done this exercise with people where I tell them, I said, just, you know, kind of indulge me for a moment, hold your hand in front of your face, because usually it's an audience where, you know, we're not in a house or near a bathroom mirror or anything like that. So I'm like, just indulge me and pretend. Just use your imagination. Hold your hand in front of your face and pretend you're looking in a mirror. And while you're doing that, listen to these words again. Mm. We all with unveiled face, in other words, just all pretenses removed, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Mm. And then just stop there for a minute. In other words, he says, when you look in your mirror, man, you're looking at my glory. A
reflection of my glory.
A reflection of my glory.
That's right.
And that's what he sees. I said, I always tell people, now we don't see that.
No.
But that's the whole transformation, mm-hmm. is that he wants us to see it. And that's why it goes on and says, so once we see, behold in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, then we are being transformed. The more we look into that, look into the word of God, look into the mirror of his word, then we're being transformed into that same image. And so, you know, that's why we can say that that approval and that applause and that affirmation is of God.
We have to have affirmation, though. I mean, if you think about it, I've raised three children. And what if I had not affirmed their gifts and their talents and their character?
Yeah.
What a deficit.
Yes.
That would have been in their core belief of their system. They would hold that mirror up and go, "What?
Who am I?
Who am I?"
Yeah.
So I had a responsibility as a good spiritual guide in their life to mm-hmm. affirm and to applaud.
Yes.
All that they, God had created them to do.
Yes.
So there is a misunderstanding there. And I'm really glad you brought that point out. And I think that once we truly know, and I'm going to go back to this because that's what you're here for. When we truly know our identity in Christ, that is all the advantage we need in the world. And yeah. I want to add to that, Daphne, because I feel like when you hold up, for me, what helped truly transform mm-hmm. my identity in its deepest core was speaking the word.
Yes.
I had been told, I had been privy to so many lies, you know, and it was the word. I sincerely took post-it notes. I wrote the word of God, what he said about me, and I put them all over my house. And to me, that was the critical point, to look at God's word and go, well, he says that about me, and that's the truth, and that's a lie.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, you're right. That is so critical, because really when it says we're beholding in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, well, what are we really beholding? You know, we're the word of God. The word of God is what we're beholding. If we go over into James, doesn't it say that a man can look into his mirror, you know, and then he forgets what kind of man he is? Let me get there.
This is one of my most favorite passages.
So James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay. Deceiving yourself. He says, if you're just hearing it, you're deceiving yourself. So a doer is actually, like you said, putting it before your eyes. Because it goes on and says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks, this is the key, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, or this word, like you said, and continues in it, keeps it before his eyes, right? And
keeps
keeps on keeping on, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. And so we know that even in Joshua 1:8, it says, you know, meditate on this book of the law day and night, and then you'll find good success.
That's
you
right. know,
so it is the key in everything.
It is.
But it's not just looking into it, but speaking it.
Yes.
You know, many know because of this podcast, they know my testimony about, and you said it so well a minute ago, that it's a position. Well, that's mm-hmm. what righteousness, you it know, is a position. That's where we get our identity from. It's also an action. Once you get in your position, then it has an action, right? But we have to be a doer of this. We have to meditate on this, but we have to speak it. You know, it's not just enough to see it. It's not just enough to know it and meditate on it, but we have to say what God is saying about us. And I just recently heard something that really stirred me up, but it was a teaching on Abraham and how God told Abraham and Sarah, you know, that you will have a child. And but it wasn't instant that they had the child. For one, it was going to take 9 months, right? But if you look at the timeline, there was a little bit of time before she even got pregnant. But they were well on up in age, right?
Very, very well on up.
And so what did God do? So that he could prepare them for what was going to happen, he changed their name.
He did.
So what did he do? Before they had any proof of anything, he started calling them the father and mother of many nations. Yes. Abraham and Sarah, he changed their names.
Spoke it.
So he spoke it. So he had them speak it. And so they were calling themselves before there was any proof of it.
Yes.
And I think when I look back on my testimony, God had me say, before I understood it fully, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Mm-hmm. And I said it with head knowledge.
Yes.
Like trying to get this, like I knew God was showing me something. But the more I said it, mm-hmm. the more it got down in my heart. And yes. Jesus said, that's how faith is birthed. He said in Mark 11, he said, if you see this mountain, if you look at this mountain, say to that mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say, mm-hmm. you'll have whatever you say. He put a lot of emphasis on what's coming out of our mouth. Right.
Yes.
And so the lesson there is that you can school yourself into faith by saying.
Yes.
And then yes. your believer will increase. The more mm-hmm. you say it, the more the believer will begin yes. to embrace it.
Yes.
So
I think you can't see us, but Daphne, our
I know we're like our body language here.
And moving and so like
we're very
fired up.
We are, and we're very identical in that. But in the same way that words empower us, the word of God, mm-hmm. your book is about overcoming hurtful words.
Yes.
And I think you've hit on something that it's not new,
no.
okay, in one sense, because the devil doesn't have new stuff.
That's right.
He has the same bag of
he
tricks
sure
that
does.
He started with. They're
yes.
the same ones. He just uses them over and over. And so if God uses words to empower us, the devil uses words to hurt us.
Yes, he does.
And so your book is about overcoming hurtful words.
Yes.
And they come from all sources. And there's not any listener right now that can identify with that.
Right.
That somebody, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, liar, liar, pants on fire. They do.
They actually hurt worse.
They hurt
yes.
worse because they stay with us. And
yes,
then the
and
devil puts them on repeat.
And, yes, and they're mental. So
yes.
I had a client this week, and I wanted to add to what you were saying just a minute ago quickly. And in our conversation was one of those, wow, moments. And I said, you know what? You have to get to the point where you reframe your cognition, which is your thought process, which is what you were talking about. When we speak the healing words, when we speak the word, you're actually going into the folds of your brain and you are reframing, you're rewiring your brain. I said, that's a critical part, but you have to then marry that cognition with your confession.
Yes.
They have to come together and they have to be united. Mm-hmm. And the two of them together actually rewire your brain. It's a proven fact. It's neuroplasticity is what it's called. And you can rewire and refire your brain and make your brain have healthy patterns.
Yeah.
So in overcoming hurtful words, I call that reframe. There's a three-step process to this heart lift process I explain in the book. And it's reflect, reframe, and reauthor. So what we're really talking about here is the reauthoring phase as well. You know, you can rewrite
yeah.
an old narrative into
yes.
a new narrative. Scripture's
yes.
full of that.
Yeah, and I love that. That's your subtitle, Rewrite Your Own
it
Story.
Is.
You know, you're reminding me of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing mm-hmm. of your mind. And then God had really used Ephesians 4 in my life, you know, just that put off the old man, which grows corrupt, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new man, which was created by God in true righteousness and holiness. And I was stuck. I was stuck
yes.
in the old.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I could see this new, this righteousness that God had designed, this robe of righteousness, this identity, this position. The key was right there, as you just described in the middle, the renewing of my mind.
Yes.
That was how you cross over. The mind had to be, you know, renewed.
It does.
And so help me tell our audience a little bit about how this came to be, this book. I don't know if you want to tell a personal story or if you know just want to share a little bit more, but what do you want them to get out of this? You want them to be healed.
I do want healing.
I know that's your
end
goal.
Especially
yeah.
mental healing, mental
yeah.
health from those invisible wounds
mm-hmm.
That are so deep. And, you know, we can't really put a cast
on the mind or the brain. Yeah.
So we learn all of these ways to navigate through life despite them, but we ultimately aren't living the most meaningful life that God created for us to live. So what I most want and what my heart was with this book, yes, the personal story for me, I'll go there for just a second, Daphne. I was deeply wounded by a fellow female leader in a church ministry that I was involved in. And she was someone I deeply loved, still do, deeply respected and trusted. And yet one day, hurtful words were spoken and really caused havoc in my heart. Mm-hmm. So we were at a retreat near the ocean. I live in Virginia on the Atlantic coastline. And on my way home, I had to cross over a very long bridge. And I was desperate. I write in the book that negativity and despair sat in the back seat. And taunting evil thoughts rolled in my mind to the point where I said, I'm just going to drive off the bridge. Who would really care? You know, that's what happens when I like to call that what happened in an emotional earthquake. You're blindsided. Your words are spoken. They come out of nowhere, it seems. And they just take your breath away. Mm-hmm. And you're not ready. You don't know how to respond. You're just shocked. And so that moment of despair on that bridge, I was like, I'm just going to drive off. I don't really, you know, it's just, I'm done. And I said three words, God help me. I was so desperate. Yeah. And so I got to the other side of the bridge. It took 2 minutes. I actually went back and timed it just because it felt like, a million hours.
Right.
But it was just 2 minutes. And I got to the other side of the bridge and I pulled over to the side of the road, found a safe place, and was just falling apart at the seams. And I just said, God, I'm just done. And I can't tell you how many times I hear clients look me in the eye and they say, I've had enough. I'm done. And I said, I'm just done. I just want to die. That's what I said. And the Holy Spirit, in his profound, gracious, loving way, said, finally.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, because I was sitting here kind of wondering, like, what did he tell you? But that's what he told me too. Mm-hmm. I sat in a closet one time and said, I'm just done. And then God says, well, now I can do something.
Yes.
And I thought, was not what I was expecting him to
Daphne,
say.
Daphne, I just got it. He applauded.
Yeah, he did.
It was like, he went,
well, all right. Hallelujah. Now you're going to let me in.
He said, because part of you needs to die, Janelle.
Yeah, yes.
Those big three A's.
Yeah.
The addictive applause, the approval of man, the acceptance you're desperately seeking needs to die.
And that's why words hurt.
Yes.
Because if we didn't need that from man,
right,
they wouldn't hurt.
They wouldn't. And
you know.
You know, I call it in the book, Rewind and Reset. If I went back to that moment when those words were being spoken to me, I would completely handle it differently today, because I have found my identity in Christ. I have found secure attachment. God has helped me. He has helped me. He will help you.
Yes.
To find that position. And it's a secure one. Today, I would say, I'm sorry. You can't speak to me that way. I love you so much, but I need you to stop talking. I have value, I have worth, I have dignity, and when you can talk to me in a way that respects that, then we'll have a conversation.
Yeah.
And so I talk about that in the book, but that's what I want everyone
just to be equipped.
Yes,
be equipped with truth that'll empower them. And I was thinking about this a moment ago, because so the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
And you've probably heard this before, that hurting people hurt people.
They do.
Well, doesn't that make sense now? Mm-hmm. Because if a hurting person then is hurting, right? Okay.
Yes.
Not to be redundant, but a hurting person is hurting. Mm-hmm. And so where's that hurt lie? In their heart.
Yes.
So guess what's going to come out of their mouth? Hurtful words out of the abundance of the heart, their mouth is going to speak. So a hurting person hurts others,
right?
But a healed person,
person,
a person who's found healing in their heart, then guess what's going to come out of their mouth? I'm going full circle now,
full
back
circle.
To what you were saying about what's helped you the most, putting the word of God in your mouth.
Yes.
So not only did it bring healing, but then it began to just build up in your heart.
It did.
So now when you have somebody, like you said, now you would answer differently. Why? Your heart was healed. Your heart was filled up with the word of God. So now out of that place, you're going to answer out of the abundance of your heart. Your mouth is going to speak a different
healing
set
words.
Of words.
It is.
Right? That would probably, in that moment, even though there was probably some situation that initiated whatever yes. that circumstance was, but your healing words, even though they were like, pause, we'll talk in a minute, but you said love. And love
yes.
covers a multitude of
it
sins.
Does.
So a lot of times we can defuse a situation,
yes.
right? Where they may back up, retract, and go, you're right. Let me think about this, you know, or whatever. And if they're not in that place, and I know that we could have both scenarios, you know, they may
we
still
could
just
have a
blow.
Lot of scenarios.
They could blow up and walk out or whatever. But yes. the point is, and I go back to this illustration all the time, Janelle. I don't know. Do you have palm trees in Virginia on your beaches?
No.
We have none in Texas.
No.
They're not on my part anyway.
We don't.
I live
not
in West Texas.
Transplanted.
Right. Okay. But you've seen like I
oh,
have.
Yes. I just came from Florida.
Yeah. So you've seen them and you've seen news footage in a hurricane.
Yes.
And I always use this illustration that, well, then the Bible talks about those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. But I think about that palm tree and the storms of life will come. But you look at a news footage of a hurricane ripping through a city, and man, they're bending
and yielding.
Uh-huh. And everything around it can be torn down. But when that storm is over, whoop, there's that palm tree. Why? Their roots
yes.
are strong. Their roots are solid and deep.
They are.
And I think that's what I want people
and
to understand.
It's taken time for them to grow.
It does.
And it's taken time
yes.
for them to
be nurtured.
Be nurtured and come into their full stature.
Yes.
So the same with us. It's a process. And I think it does come back again to what we were saying before, that I need to daily,
yes,
daily guard my heart and all of its affections
mm-hmm.
because it's going to influence everything in my life. At that
yeah.
point in my life, at that point, I was very busy.
Yeah.
Busy, busy, busy. I loved being busy. I wore the badge of busy. And I have since learned how vital it is to have the practice of silence and solitude and contemplative prayer and a daily time of collecting strength in my soul, which leads to great, tremendous spiritual resilience
mm-hmm.
so that I am operating and moving through my life from a place of collected strength and rest.
Yes.
I'm moving in a point from a point of mm-hmm. intimacy with Christ. So this is a cautionary tale as well, in a sense, and a big part of the book is how do we begin to develop these disciplines, these spiritual disciplines that have been around since God created the world. You know, he rested on the seventh day. I mean, he sent his people to times of contemplation in the desert and in the wilderness. So yeah. I know as I'm looking back with my hindsight, which is 2020, going, I was jumping through hoops. I was trying, my ego was involved. I was trying to do things. I was trying to make things on my own. I've learned since that point how vital it is to take that time
yeah.
to develop my intimacy with God.
Yeah, it's so important. And you quoted Proverbs 4:23 just
yes.
a minute ago. I don't know what translation that is.
That is the Living Bible.
Is it?
Yes.
I love the Living Bible,
I do
actually.
Like that translation.
But in the New King James, I wanted to point out something. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. You said guard your heart, right? For out of it spring the issues of life.
Yes.
Okay? This word issues actually means boundaries and controlling factors.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
So it is so amazing because a boundary or controlling factor can work in the negative or the positive. That's why it says guard your heart because, you know, out of it are going to flow these issues, these boundaries or controlling factors of your life. So the word of God coming out of our mouth actually sets healthy boundaries.
Healthy boundaries.
So we go, that's not allowed here. I'm not going to let that pierce my heart. Words hurt.
They do.
Reckless
words, you know, they're worse than a sword.
Yes, and you can still be grieved by a situation.
Oh, yes.
But they don't have to shake, like that palm tree, they don't have to shake me at my core so that I'm toppled over.
That's correct.
That's the difference, okay?
Or feel like you want to drive off a bridge.
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I had that experience.
Yes.
It wasn't on a bridge, but I had those
yes.
same thoughts. It's same bag of tricks.
Yes,
enemy
same
unchanged.
Bag of tricks.
But here in the negative, for out of it, guard your heart, because out of it spring the issues, boundaries, or controlling factors of life. If it's in the negative, then what people do is they build up walls.
Oh,
and
yes.
you know, and they hold stuff in, and then yes. that becomes that hurting person that's just It's stuck. It's stuck. And like Ephesians 4 said, put off the old man which grows corrupt. Anything that's
stagnant. Have
you ever, yeah, you ever found something in your refrigerator? You went, wow, that should have been thrown out a long time ago. Yes. You know, well, that's what it is. It grew corrupt.
It did.
When we build those walls out of hurts and wounds, then it's not getting better.
No.
Then we start out of that speaking to others,
pouring
into our children, you know, facilitating this
negative, a repetitious cycle of, of dysfunction, which I just call unhealthy healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just, I have a client and I love her dearly, and she just says nothing changes if nothing changes.
Right.
But believe me, it will get worse.
This is true. Very
so
true.
So it's, that was an eye-opening moment in a session with her as well. And so we have to, I always say there has to be someone, either it's yourself who awakens to begin making this transformation happen within a heart. So if when I began my transformation and my commitment to become healthy and mature in Christ, that flowed into, that flowed, as the Living Bible says, it influences everything in your life. You know, influence comes down to influenza. It just, it's going to spread. The root, it means it's just going to go everywhere.
That's
so
great.
If I like to say, if a heart lifter, a big part of the book is on being a heart lifter. If a heart lifter is in the center of a home, that home will be healthy and thriving, like a big palm tree, like you were saying.
Yes, that's good.
So it only takes one person.
Yeah.
And you might be that one person, listener, who says, today is a new day, and God, please help me. Help me change.
And He will.
And He will.
He will.
He will.
But we need to be equipped with
we
the
do.
Word of God. And
we
you've
do.
Done such a fabulous job of just sharing your heart and the word in this book. So can you tell our listeners how to find it? And your website and your HeartLift stuff. Can you tell them all about that? And Facebook. I know you're very good. She's very good on social media. I love it. She does live events and just very available.
I have a few coming up, which I'm excited about. But you can find the book on easiest way is www.Janelle, J-A-N-E-L-L, Rardon, R-A-R-D-O-N.com. Go there. You will navigate your way to find the book and find me on Facebook and Instagram. And
nice.
We will connect and we will begin this heart-lifting journey together.
I really, really encourage you to go get a copy of this book. It's life-changing. And I'm honored to be an endorser on
she
the back
is,
of that book.
Back,
so
my
I just,
Daphne.
I feel like it was my little way of going, yay, and put my applause on it. But I'm so proud of you, Janelle, and so grateful for our friendship. And so thank you.
Thank you
for being
a
guest
on
Identity Advantage. It's been wonderful. And you'll be sad she missed you. But to all of our listeners, we'll see you next time. God bless.